Okay, we've got Mike Rodenbach from Business Constituency, Jason Frakes, Registrar, Patrick Jones and Olaf Nordling and myself from the staff, Jeff Eckhouse, Registrar, Jeff Newman, Registry Constituency, Margie Millam, Registrar, Christina Rosette, IPC, and Danny Younger, Non-Commercial Users Constituency. Have I left off anybody? Okay.
Great. Thanks, Glenn. Okay, so I'm hopeful that everybody has the document I sent around last night. I know Jonathan also sent around another document last night, which we'll consider when we get to 4.3.
Could I just quickly comment on it, because this is one half, the first half of the document, which means that all internal links, of course, will be spoiled and ruined, and the table of contents, of course, it's completely destroyed. So, but we got a little bit of a problem with the document, so I can't send it to the whole list as one document, because that clogs up the ICANN server, see? So,
I remember that from Sunday.
Yeah. So just recall that, don't be surprised, if you try to click a link, that's an internal link in the document, it would lead you nowhere.
Okay, thanks, Olaf. So I'd like to just basically take it from the top of the red line that I sent around and get, obviously, people's comments, not only on my changes, but if anybody else has any other changes or suggestions, similar to what we did last week. So I was starting off with, in the background, section 1.1.
Actually, I just want to back up even further. In the table of contents, can we change how the IPC, how Annex 5 is titled? Because it's not a survey.
Okay. Well.
And I think I put something in my markup from whenever it was that I sent it around. Maybe it was late Friday night.
All right.
Hey, is Jonathan on the call?
I am, hi.
Hey, Jonathan, can you just make sure, because I haven't read your version yet, can you just make sure you interject comments when, because I've only looked at Mike's version.
Okay.
So,
I'm sure we can count on that.
Thank you for your faith, Mike.
All right, so into 1.1 then, I just made a couple of small textual changes. Anybody have anything else? All right, 1.2.
I owe new language for the paragraph at the bottom of page 4, and I have not had a chance to do that yet.
Okay. I know you're going to do it right after the call.
Actually, no.
All right.
I've been out for 2 days. I'm so far behind.
Is it something that we can hash out right now and just get a draft in there, placeholder?
I mean, I'm happy to do that. I'm basically trying to avoid the conclusory statement that of the type that Jonathan objected to in his email, which is why I've requested the deletion of the corresponding text from 4.7.
Okay, I appreciate that. I'm not seeing here. Wait, this was in 1.2, right?
Yeah. The paragraph that it's the one-sentence paragraph at the bottom of page 4, virtually all 115 respondents.
Got it. Okay.
We realize I didn't necessarily object so much as say, look, you know, come on.
That's okay. We're deleting it. It's deleted.
I mean, I would.
Could you tell me what you delete?
Yeah, delete that whole paragraph in 1.2, virtually all 115 respondents.
Oh, okay.
And then the corresponding, when we get to it in 4.7, I'll note that as well.
All right.
Are you going to replace it with something, or are you just taking that out?
I'm going to replace it with something that basically is kind of says, you know, the IPC, you know, conducted a supplemental RFI, the results of which are, you know, contained herein in Annex 5 and speak for themselves or something like that.
Yeah, I think that's appropriate for this section. Okay. So, Olaf, and you kind of got the gist of that. You can take a stab at a draft. Because, Christine, I really don't want to wait long after this call.
No, I appreciate that. I appreciate that. I'm just crazy busy right now.
No problem. Understood. Okay.
Jonathan, were you okay with the...
Do I get this straight now? Sorry for interrupting, but, well, you won't send, Christina, you won't send any additional text, but I add a reference, basically, for this piece.
Yeah, I mean, I would be perfectly fine with something along the lines of the following. The intellectual property constituency conducted a supplemental request for information, which the results of which are contained at Annex blank and summarized in section blank. Something like that is perfectly fine for me.
Okay. Okay. I hope I can manage that. Yes.
I have a nit in the paragraph above on the input from a group of CCTLDs. Where it says monthly pricing schemes, can you just change the word schemes to something like business models or...
Yeah, monthly pricing models.
Models, yeah. Schemes just have that negative.
Monthly pricing models.
Yeah.
Considered changed.
Thanks.
All right.
Again, it's just a nit, but
no problem. Now is the time. All right, 1.3. 1.4.
Just scrolling here.
Looks right so far.
Good deal. Section 2. All right.
Thanks for nitpicking that, Mike.
Yep. just trying to keep it consistent where I found things. All right, section 3, 3.1. Shouldn't be any changes there. It's been like this for a long time. 3.2. And Olaf confirmed this morning that he can update the report and the graphs with the latest info. So that should be very helpful to give another point on the graphs.
You made it very simple for me to and brought in the data that Jeff put in a mail.
Great.
Right. I mean, and someone should check my math to make sure I interpreted that right. I mean, I think I interpreted it right, but. That the lease dropped from 2.4 million to whatever it did, which was a drop in about 15-fold.
Yeah. Okay. I'll check it.
I guess I would also refer back, because I think it's useful in this context. Refer back to David Maher's public comments on this in San Juan, where he basically said it was two tasters that they were dealing with, and this in fact did push them away.
Right. Should we? Starting looking for quotes.
I feel like if we just incorporate the statistics, it's a little bit misleading, without knowing that in fact it was really two tasters, tasting registrars. Okay. Outcome: the RFI. 4.1. All right. To the top of page. 10, 4.1.
It's Alan here. I just got on. Sorry, I was late.
Oh, good. Hey, welcome. Hey, Alan. Welcome. Has anybody else joined late? Okay. All right. I'm to the top of page 11 now, still in 4.1.
Can we go back to the top of page 10, please?
Sure.
I had tried when I made some changes to, and this is kind of picking up on something that Jeff had pointed up in one of our earlier calls when I kind of done the, you know, blank or characterized as benefiting from. I think we need to kind of carry that through to the paragraph at the top of page 10, you know, so other actors that are perceived as or were characterized as benefiting.
Okay, that makes sense.
Just to kind of, yep. You know, continue that same qualifier.
Yeah. That are perceived to benefit?
I think...
Why don't we just say are characterized? Because it was a characterization, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do that. I'm happy with that.
If we use that elsewhere.
All right. Anything else on page 10 from anybody? Page 11?
Sorry, I might be still...
No problem.
Okay, no, I'm good. Never mind. Sorry.
Lovely.
I was just trying to follow two different printouts.
Okay, I'm on to page 12 now.
Oh, the new one, hold up.
Mike, it's Jeff. Can you just slow down just for one second? We can just give a second for everyone just to respond on before we just flying through some of the pages. I actually don't have any responses, but I think we're just going a little fast.
I think I'm on 12 now where I had, I don't know if it's 12.
Obviously, I'm glad to have anybody's comments. We need to go back. Not a problem.
I just
don't want to be wasting time.
Nope, that's fine.
Where's the statement?
Mike, you're using your red line page numbers?
Correct.
Okay.
Where is the statement on the 30 to 32 million names being kited? That's where I wanted to stop.
That's at the top of page 13.
Again, I think we talked about on the last call that we wanted to reverse the order of those that are either registered via tasting or kited.
Okay.
I
think I didn't do that.
Right, and I
so what does it change exactly, Jeff?
And what is the origin of that data?
Yeah, well, it's totally untrue. But
the origin of the data is CADNA's submission right now. I understand, Jonathan, what you're saying. And unfortunately, CADNA in their submission didn't specifically identify that it was from the Mark Monitor reports, although I happen to know that's where they came from. I don't think it matters
down
for these purposes.
At least they didn't write it down on a piece of paper and then quote it. You know, it's that we. It seems. I don't know how to identify that. You know, it's extrapolated from another document that doesn't quote its numbers.
I think it's accurate as it says right now. CADNA states this for whatever it's worth.
Yeah, but like it says, it states it with some data and. Saying with some data, it means that there's actually some statistical data that backs it up. If the use of the word data says that there's actually something that has been proven behind it versus just saying it's a comment.
Like maybe we should put that in an annex. I mean, that is something because, you know,
how about if we delete the phrase with some data? That doesn't help.
Hey, Mike, this is Margie.
Hey, Margie.
I don't think we say there's 30 to 32 million kited. I think we say, I'll look at my brand documents, but I don't.
Well, it's kited or were identified and registered via tasting.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I'm not sure that data came from us, but I'll.
I'm just telling you, I asked them about it a while ago, and that's what they told me.
Well, it seems like we were saying eliminating the words with some data.
How about this? How about we can do that, and it will say additional comments are provided. For example, CADNA suggesting or CADNA believes that.
Right, then I would switch the kited or the order of kiting and tasting.
Sure, that makes sense to me too. Flip those clauses. Okay. So I believe it would read then, additional comments are provided, comma. For example, CADNA believes that 30 to 32 million names are either identified and registered via tasting or being kited, and that 2 million names are being tasted every day.
Okay, got that.
Fine.
Okay.
Yep.
Anything else then on page 13?
I'm sorry, one more thing. 30 to 32 million names, is that a time frame, or it's all they said?
At any given time.
Oh, at any given time.
That's the way I read it.
Olaf, you might maybe check in their exact submission and
everything else has
clarify that a little bit more.
Yeah, is that per year, per day, at any given time?
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, there's not 32 million names registered a day, so.
Right.
I think, the way I read it and try to remember it is that, you have one aspect here is identified and registered by a tasting, and that's sort of a total count, which can be a state of a particular day, and are being kited, which is sort of, that's a flux.
Well, tasting is a flux, too.
Well, tasting is a flux. Kiting is a relative steady state. It implies regular re-registration by with the AGP. So kiting is definitely a steady state issue.
So maybe it's Cadmus believes that 32 million names have been tasted or kited.
Were identified and registered.
That's very different.
By sort of an accruing number.
Yeah, that's a different statement.
I don't understand their...
I think we should not be trying to interpret what it is they believe. We should look at their statement.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I copied it from it because I was taken aback, and that's the way I understood it as well. I mean, that's one is, are being kited, which is sort of state of the proceedings today or any particular day, or were identified and registered via tasting, which means that this is an accruing number that could have been, has been then identified and registered through tasting or in the course of time. And, well, it's a family addition, actually.
Can we just ask the guys to leave the, we can just say we'll leave this out, and then until they come back and clarify, so that we're not trying to interpret what they're thinking or saying, when we can just go back to them and say...
Well, that's why I suggest that we just put in exactly what they said. If Olaf has already done that, then I think we just leave it at that.
Yeah, I do that, and I take it straight from their comments, and I think I did so, but I didn't put brackets on it, but I bracketed it, or rather, inverted comma.
All right.
Yeah, the problem I have is it's just not true. And I have a problem with, even if it's someone's belief.
No, I mean, in a certain...
Be careful.
I don't
think you want to start this conversation.
No, we don't. Remember, this is factual. We're trying to report what people have reported to us. Whether it's true or not, Jeff, honestly, that comes later.
Well, but however, if the statement is one that we really can't parse, then at the very least we should put a footnote saying that we had trouble figuring out exactly what they meant.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
I'm fine with that as well. And maybe we just quote this, put it in quotes. Cadna believes, quote, put exactly what they say.
Actually, yes.
Yeah.
And then drop a footnote that says this may be subject to interpretation and perhaps needs follow-up from Cadna.
And the group has not undertaken to substantiate... I don't think we should do that. Why are we picking on this one comment?
Right, exactly.
We're already highlighting it as something we don't understand.
So let's just quote it directly and leave it at that.
Because otherwise, if we put footnotes, that means that we have vetted everything else, and we haven't.
Right.
Well, but this one is one that we don't understand. I'm not sure if we don't understand it why we're putting it, but...
That's a fair enough point, Alan. I guess I'm interested to see exactly what they said. Right now, we don't know that. So let's leave this as an open issue, get the exact language from Olaf. If there's still any uncertainty...
Well, is there some way to put, although this could not be verified?
I mean, we could say that on everything in here.
Yeah, and that assumes the others are verified.
Yep.
Exactly. So what we could do, that's perhaps not the most beautiful, but putting a question mark within parentheses after it, indicating that, the draftsman didn't really understand all this.
So, we already mentioned that it says a forthcoming study from Cadna, but now we've put that's in the paragraph above it, but now we quote their data. I mean, I'm almost erring on the side of why do we single this comment out from all the comments that were received and put that in here?
Maybe we should... We're spending too much time on it, and we should leave it to one side as poorly understood.
Yep.
That 2 million names are being tasted every day. That's still an understandable statement.
That's right. I think if there's something, a direct quote that we can put in there that makes sense, then we should do that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm fine with the 2 million names are being tasted because you can look at the zone files and see that, or see how many names are being... You can extrapolate that.
Okay. I am comfortable then deleting that entire sentence that a bunch of people don't like and saying that, for example, CADNA states that 2 million names are being tasted every day. Leave it at that.
Okay.
All right.
All right. So...
Yeah, that would solve a lot of... That's
yep.
Good.
Good solution.
All right. Excellent. Let's keep going then. Page 13, anything else on this page? Okay, page 14. And page 15.
Did you, okay, so the APWT inputs in there? A full text? Good, okay, cool. Sorry. Slow.
Okay, then I'm into now 4.2.
And we're going to update these charts? Or no, is it too late?
It's kind of too late.
Oh, it is? I thought I understood you were going to update them. Okay.
It's not done in a jiffy, not by me at least.
Okay, I understand. I'm sure it would take me hours as well. I don't know that it's that important. I haven't actually compared the latest report to what would happen in March as far as the numbers. Has anybody done that? Where it might be interesting is in the second chart, Olaf, because there's just that huge drop-off in March that is obviously a question mark.
Right.
Or if we could add org to this with a footnote as to why org dropped. But I guess that would be a whole new...
Yeah. I think we covered .org okay with the numbers. I'm not going to ask Olaf to create another pretty chart right now.
Mm-hmm. I think we're running very close to the line here, and I'd rather get it out. And
I think we just go ahead and leave it as March, and
we could rather. I would perhaps an option would be to come on or send that separately to the council updated graph.
Yeah,
that's
not a bad idea. All right. We'll do that. And we'll just, in my cover note to the council, I'll say that we've got the June reports, and Olaf will circulate a revised version when he has a chance.
Yeah, try to.
Okay. Good deal.
Well,
I'm into page 19.
So underneath the, I'm sorry, I don't know what page this is. I believe... some of the registries, I know Biz, have been providing the ACT data since from the beginning, but there's a sentence on page... sorry, I don't know what page I'm on here.
Are you looking at a printout or online? Or
I'm looking at it online.
Oh, you're looking at the first
page. I know what you're referring to.
Page 19.
Decision on deletes within the AGP was only recently made publicly available by...
I would say by VeriSign.
By VeriSign.
For CommonNet, yeah.
That's fair.
Yep.
Right.
Okay.
And by the way, Patrick does have the totals from the last report because he was kind enough to send me a copy. So staff does have them available.
But they're not put, this is Patrick, they're not put in the monthly reports. We had to create that. So it takes time. We can't do it every month, but we can do it if asked.
But at least it should facilitate Olaf's efforts to update a graph.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Good.
Hey, if I may communicate with my colleague, Patrick, do you think, well, I've drafted these graphs, but do you think that Karen would have a second to update the graphs?
I'm driving right now, and so I'll talk to her when I get in.
All right. because it's plenty on the plate.
Okay. Then I am now into page 20, unless anyone has any comments.
Yeah, I have a question actually about number 19.
About
Page 19, where we say registry representatives within the ad hoc group.
Mm-hmm, near the bottom, okay.
Yeah, I mean, aren't we basically only talking about registry representatives from PIR and NuStar, and if so, should we just say that?
Yeah. Registry representatives from PIR and NuStar.
Yeah, and put a capital F for NuStar whenever it's mentioned. Got to protect my intellectual property.
All right. As long as you don't add an exclamation point.
I would add the names in brackets because we didn't single them out specifically to get the data. They just happen to be the ones on the group.
Yeah, well, we're going to delete within the ad hoc group because actually PIR was not in the ad hoc group.
Ah, okay.
So we'll just say registry reps from PIR and NuStar provided more data. Okay.
PIR and NuStar, and what... was there anything particular there, Jeff, about how protecting your...
It's a capital S. It's a capital N and then a capital S.
Okay.
All right. I believe that takes us then to page 20.
Where it says VeriSign was asked to provide similar information for .com and .net but has refused. Can we soften it a little and just say but has not to date? The reason I still want VeriSign to post some negative thing about the report because of this.
But to date has refused?
Well, have they actively refused or have they just not responded?
They've pretty much actively refused and said they were going to give us a response from their legal team that we have not received.
I think we should say that.
Yeah.
That's more accurate.
Yeah. If they haven't said no, we are not giving it, then we can't say they refused.
Right.
Okay.
Well, they did say that they didn't. What they did is they kept questioning why we needed the data and kept arguing that we already had the data and then finally said their legal team would provide a response and nothing.
How about, but to date has not provided the data?
Yeah, that's what I said. Much softer.
I'm okay with that.
But has,
but has not provided the data as of, or but has not yet provided the data.
That's good.
Not yet provided the data, okay.
Well, and it's also capital V, capital S. Jeff.
That's correct.
Is it really?
It is.
It is.
Oh, boy. All right. Make that change everywhere. All right. 4.3, then.
Before we go into that, can I just note that we've got the sections out of order in 4 as compared to how we've outlined them through the rest of the report in the sense of, you know, if we're going to track how we initially laid them out, the order after 4.2 should be the CCTLDs, the UDRP, the IPC, and then the registrars. And if we're not going to track how we did it in the beginning.
I don't understand what you mean how we did it in the
beginning. Well, like how we outlined it in the introductory sections. When we talk about the various data collection sources, we always talk about them in those sections in the same order. RFI, CCTLD, UDRP, IPC, registrars.
Then we change it in the introduction in that case.
That'd be easier probably for Olaf. And I think I'm okay with that. I'm not.
I am going to just go on the record that I have an objection, given that, you know, the other responses were all, you know, the other sections were all, in my view, much more transparent. And to put the one that is least transparent up front is a bad idea, in my view.
I think you're reading a little too much into it, but.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure that too many folks would make that, you know, that distinction or think that it matters much, Christine. Although, I mean, I agree with your statement. Clearly, this is the least transparent. I'm not sure that really matters the order. And frankly, now that it's going to be edited down to the factual substance of the submission, I think we should be okay with it. Okay, so 4.3.
Drum roll.
The substance. The edited version. So, Jonathan, I would really strongly like to work from this text rather than the text that you submitted last night. unless you have...
Well, I have some compelling reasons why we might want to take advantage of the 4.3. I did, in fact, get some quantitative metrics that come to where the methodology was, where did this arrive from. And there was a fifth use of
AGP
that came in that got included in the document.
Okay. I'm obviously glad to have that added in here. And let me just try to find that exactly. What was the fifth thing?
The fifth was buyer's remorse.
Buyer's remorse.
Addressing buyer's remorse. Mm. Now, okay. In fairness, I believe that the responding registrar was discussing the price points inside of Pro, dot Pro, where the registration is significantly higher than that in ComNet or GinfoBiz, that the, in the case where they've got a registration, sometimes the cost of a registration can be $100. And that they get...
Frankly, I think that buyer's remorse is essentially the same thing as mistyping or typographical errors.
I don't think so. Those are two separate items.
They really are two separate items, because one's accidental and the other one is, it was done with intent, but then,
It actually sounds like domain tasting to me.
I'd agree with you, except that the case that was provided was really not any sort of volume. I mean, what described was that, at $100 an item, which I couldn't see somebody tasting, that, they might get as many as 10 or 13 items in the cart and then hit submit and then come back and say, I don't think I really wanted all these. And that's really different from...
Still sounds like tasting no matter what the price.
I don't know, why does that sound like tasting? If somebody comes in and buys 10 names and they've spent, for example, Dot Pro, which is an expensive one, and not at all tasted, and they decide, I spent too much money, I can't afford this, why do you say that's the equivalent of tasting?
I'm not sure we need to analyze it, whether it's different or not. I do have a problem that it's capitalized, and yet the term is not defined anywhere. I'm not sure I know, or someone in another culture will know, what buyer's remorse is.
So, Alan, would you say just to edit it such that it makes sense to multiple cultures, or to define the term?
I would define the term, especially if you're using it in capitals. I'm not sure capitals are warranted, but...
I agree we should probably not capitalize it, and then the first sentence down, where Jothan starts explaining about use 5, I think the first sentence should have a brief explanation of what buyer's remorse is.
I mean, I assume it means I changed my mind, but...
That's right.
I
think that's fair to put it. A buyer's remorse, a situation where a buyer changes his mind shortly after purchase.
Yeah, and, changes his mind essentially with no... never actually pointing it to a live website. I mean, we're not tracking whether they do or not, but that's the intent. That is, it was never used
in any way.
But it was decided it wasn't really needed. I mean, if that's the intent, then I think you need to say something like that.
And if it was one registrar identified, can we just go back to the bigger issue? I'm a little confused as to where we are. Are we working from Mike's revision of 4.3, or are we working from what Jonathan did, or are we going to end up in an
We're working from my version, but I've agreed that generally we could add the fifth reason here. We could add buyer's remorse in.
Yeah, I mean, I have no objection to identifying the specific ways in which registrars use the AGP. Never have.
Right.
It's all the extra stuff that I have problems with.
Okay, so that's it. I think we're fine then with adding it, this text, Jothan, AGP use 5, with the explanation of buyer's remorse. So he changes his or her mind without activating the domains. And the next two paragraphs are okay. And then the conclusion stuff is back to my draft. Much of it's out. But will be annexed.
Okay. So to go through and include some of the quantitative information from the 4.3 I submitted.
Great. Okay. So you,
I'd like to argue that that's there. In fact, I'd like to argue that the document that I submitted simply replaces the 4.3 that's there. I think we took a lot of what Christina and you had had put in and answered a lot of the questions that were there as to the methodology and spent a significant amount of time addressing this.
Well, okay, but some of the edits I think were still have not been incorporated. So, for example, you have in your second paragraph, what follows is the result of a straw poll of the registrar constituency. Yet you've said that this was never submitted to the registrar constituency. So it's a straw poll vote of some registrars.
And it's also not correct to say that it was the ad hoc group that polled the registrar constituency.
Well, it should definitely say the result of a straw poll vote of some registrars. And then...
Well, this was sent to the entire... registrar constituency group.
Yeah, this is Jeff. That's why I was just about to make that point, that this was sent to the registrar's constituency mailing list, which is, as somebody had mentioned, somebody had sent, Francesco had sent to this group, that is the primary way that the registrar's constituency responds with each other through the list, and this was sent to all the registrars that are on the registrar's
list. When?
September 14th.
September 14th, it says in Joshua's paper.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I lay all this out, which, so in essence, the registrar constituency list consists of 65 registrars who represent hundreds of registrars. And it was submitted on the 14th for people to either respond to the RFI, to the process, either to the Big Pulse poll or the mailing list. Or they could respond to me with some uses of AGP. And I got 38 responses, three of which were not used because they had submitted to either the Big Pulse or the RFI mailing list. But the last 35... our registrar businesses, I didn't extrapolate how many registrars were represented by that. But this was just individual registrar representatives. And only one of them allows domain tasting as part of their AGP use. I think that really speaks volumes as to the validity of the data.
It's definitely more helpful than we were yesterday, so I appreciate that. I'm still reading through some of this again. It was quite late last night when this came through.
I mean, I can tell you that I'm having a difficult time trying to figure out, given what we talked about in terms of, you know, maybe some of what Mike has suggested will be defined. I'm having a hard time figuring out how to apply the instructions I've gotten from my constituency in the context of the fact that 4.3 is still in flux. So.
Can you explain that?
The
instructions I have from my constituency are that if anything, if what ends up in the text of 4.3 is anything other than a purely factual, this is what we asked, this is how we asked it, these were the specific uses that were identified, you know, don't characterize them as benefits, don't make sweeping assumptions about registrant behavior. If it's anything other than that, I have been instructed to object and request that the ICC be provided to submit a letter in objection that would be included as an annex.
Well, you are always permitted to object, and you're always permitted to submit a letter to the council when they consider it, but I think your constituency is being a little bit...
No, you know, honestly, I don't think so. I mean, I really don't think so. For example, you know, there was a very interesting sentence in the first draft that indicated that none of the polled registrars participated in tasting or kiting. That's gone. So, you know, was that wrong? I mean, You know, is it that some of them do, some of them don't? I mean, looking at some of the language about, for example, where it should be, where you're talking about, you know, most registrants are sheltered from the confusing world of provisioning protocols and technical aspects. You know, I expect that kind of nonsense when I go to the tool aisle in Home Depot, not in, you know, not in a report that is going to represent the views of the ad hoc group. And, if it, and I think that's probably my problem, is that a lot of the way this is drafted, somebody reading it and just reading it kind of start to finish, let's see what they came up with, not kind of examining it, isn't going to realize that 4.3 is simply the opinion of the registrar constituency, and that the poll was conducted by the registrar representatives of the registrar constituency, that it wasn't, you know, the ad hoc group saying, okay, we're going to do specific polls.
So can we just solve that by putting a first sentence saying this poll was done by the registrar reps and the ad hoc group? Because I got to tell you, Christina, I have a ton of problems with the number of your with your survey, but I've kept it, you know,
but you
live
had,
with
you
it.
Had 6 weeks to object. That's specifically why we waited so long.
I'm talking about the characterization. I have a severe problem with an IP owner making a claim as to what threatens the security and stability of the internet, and especially with domain tasting. I have a huge problem with it. But, you know, that sentence deserves to stay in there that you have, that, you know, 100 and whatever people view that there is a threat to security and stability. I think that is completely...
Is that in my section?
Yeah, 139 out of 182 believe that domain tasting...
No. That's in the general RFI.
Well, it's in the general RFI.
Yes,
yes,
but
the majority are IP owners that responded. And I have a huge problem with that because I think that's total BS, but we're going to leave it in there because that's what they believe. If we start this sentence out by saying registrars believe and then do the rest of it, then I don't think there's an issue.
But, you know, the problem is that even then, I mean, it's still not objective. You know, even, and I do appreciate the effort that Jonathan went to put some transparency on this. I think it really lends to you know, the credibility of it. But I still have a problem with, you know, the results of the straw poll of the registrars yielded 5 benefits of AGP other than domain tasting and kiting. You know, characterizing as a benefit is solely your perspective. And if you're talking about a benefit, you know, the results of the straw poll yielded 5 ways in which the registrars used the AGP and perceived these uses to be a benefit to their consumers. You know, saying it that way as opposed to saying, you know, these are benefits. I mean, this whole report is the report of the group.
Okay, I think your suggestions are good. I think, Jonathan, can you not put in these are perceived rather than facts? I think we could solve it, but...
Yeah, we could say basically 5 perceived benefits of the AGP.
That's fine. I mean, I'm fine with that. It's just throughout
so
the whole section...
Okay, I've added that.
But Christina, I mean, having read through this a little more carefully, Jonathan has made a lot of the edits that we suggested. Now, there's still some more that I would want. Definitely. For example, where he says, in contrast, the restocking fee are the more palatable options. That's an opinion that's not really necessary here. And it's repeated 5 times, I think.
Well, in each case, you know, it's being presented as part of the feedback that came back from the registrars on each of these. And the concern would be that, you know, no consideration of the impacts of each of the potential remedies would be considered as part of the process of review of this document, you know, by the council who's ultimately going to proceed or not proceed into PDP. And the, you know, to use Christina's analogy, you know, the Home Depot analogy, you know, you know, when you go to Home Depot, there's no instructions on how to use a hammer. But
I was talking about, like, the condescending tone of it, frankly.
Oh, you mean like the salespeople? Oh, my God, I have that same...
Yeah, I mean, I just find some of the tone in here to just be condescending. I mean, you know, independent of the fact whether I think it's a smart move to insult registrants, I mean, I can't find off on language that if I read this and I was a registrant, I would find offensive.
Well, then you should propose specific edits.
I did.
Okay.
And I'm happy to kind of go through, you know, what is now Section 43. And again, you know, I don't have a problem at all with having a section of the report that says the registrars were asked in this way, blah, 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 how they use the AGP. This is what they said. This is why they think eliminating it is a problem. But unless you've got kind of consistently throughout this section the qualifiers that you need, I think people who aren't, frankly, going to be reading this with a fine-tooth comb, and most aren't, are not going to get – they're going to come away with the impression that
– I have the same objection to your section, too. 44 of 99 respondents stated that their brands – or companies they represent have been the subject of tasting. Why don't you? I don't believe that. I believe that they perceive it to be tasting. But there's no, you know, if we're going to drop in the word perceived or
everywhere,
believed everywhere, we got to do it in your section too. I mean, you may believe that your sections are fact, but I have the same opinion of your survey that you have of the registrars. We just have to live. We have to trust each other a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it's very clear in both cases. I mean, this is titled opinion polling registrars. It's in every case, it's request for information and opinion very clearly in both of the RFIs. So I don't want to be too hung up on making sure we put perceived as benefits everywhere in this report. I just don't think it's necessary. It makes it too wordy and silly, and we just don't have time for it right now. So. And I don't really, I'm okay with it if either of you guys have it in a couple of places that you really think it should be, particularly at the front of sections, okay. But otherwise, I just don't want to be getting into that right now. I think it's too late.
Well, another thing to point out in this is that, you know, there was, of those 38 registrars, 35 of them opted to respond through this method as opposed to through the general RFI process. And... you know, right or wrong, they,
I understand what you're saying. That's what they say they did, and you've stated that. So
I've tried to characterize
good.
It, and frankly, I've toned down the opinion.
You have.
I've toned down the significant quantity of the opinion, and you know, I've tried to keep this as subjective, or excuse me, as factual as possible. There may be places where that leaked. I can certainly respect what Christina's saying.
Okay, let me propose this, that Olaf take Jotham's text, insert it in. Also, take, please, review the edited versions from Christina and I that will have some nits to some of this text which has stayed the same. And let's go with that for now. Everyone's going to have one more chance to comment, express outrage, etc. Does that sound fair to everybody?
Yep.
Yeah, I can live with that.
Okay. Thanks.
Do my best.
No. I was specifically directing that question to you, Olaf. I think it's fair to everyone but you. But I know you'll make a really good effort, as you have in so many instances on this report. So. Okay. Then, at that, unless anyone has any sort of strong opinions or views that they want Olaf to take into account when taking that next step, then we'll move on. Okay.
So what page do we get to?
We get to section 4.4.
Page
26. So in this document, without pasting it in, it's page 25 for me. Is that everybody?
26.
Right.
I do want to go back, although to Christina's comment about the ordering. I tend to agree with her that, you know, this order doesn't necessarily, certainly is not written in stone, and I do think that that it makes sense at least to put the two RFI responses back to back, since one was supplemental to the other.
Okay.
So I'd like those up front. They're also the things that we've been working on the longest. And then this can stay 4.3, and we can move the charts. Are those what's 4.2 right now? I forget.
They are.
And then we can,
I actually am inclined to say the chart should come first, frankly.
I like that, too, because that was the first thing we did, actually.
Yeah, because, I mean, that's kind of probably the most unobjectionable part of the whole report.
I think that's fair. So let's do the charts as 4.1, the RFI response 4.2, the supplemental RFI 4.3, and then the registrar
4.4.
4.4, and keep the rest.
Okay.
Well, can we retain the current numbering at least for the process of review for this call?
Yeah, of course. Okay.
I haven't had enough coffee.
So then I think that takes us to section 4.4, which is on page 26, at least where I'm at right now.
Soon to become 4.5.
Right. So can we, this section is a little bit harsh, I think.
Yeah, well, actually, I've replaced it already in sort of the working draft I've got on the screen. I'm reading this from paper, but I got text from Danny Younger, and I've introduced that instead. When he refers to the original question put forward by Bruce Tonkin, that it sort of explains what the general thought was.
I do think that makes a lot of sense to generally use Danny's text. I do think, though, that we need to call out the fact that we thought this information was coming and it was promised repeatedly and never came. And it really undermined the work of the group. We don't have to go that far, but that's the truth. So,
I mean, can we just say it in such a way we had hoped that the data would come, but it didn't, without saying a large registrar or...
Now, in my text, I simply indicated, unfortunately, owing to unforeseen circumstances, the study was not progressed.
Personally would like to be a little bit more direct.
I can't believe that Danny Younger has a more mild version than other people. To me, that's just historic.
What happened now?
Not noted as an objection.
No, that's...
All right,
I'm impressed.
So, okay, I'll go to the text. I know what happened. It's documented on the email list what happened. And we'll leave it at that.
Do we want to suggest additional work in that area, or is that not really part of
it? We do that in the next
step. Yeah, the final line reads.
Oh, okay.
The
okay.
Final language states that, yeah.
Okay.
And you know, frankly, I think that's good wording.
Yeah, it was unforeseen circumstances. That's true.
Well, Mike, you're gonna be asked what those circumstances were. I'm not saying we have to put it in the report. I agree it's probably better not to, but somebody at some point is gonna ask. So.
And that's fine. We'll refer back to the refer back to the email that I sent last night that I doubt we'll get a response to. Based on past experience. Okay, so I think that covers off 4.4, unless anyone has anything else. All right, 4.5.
So DE actually allows registrars, this is the second paragraph, DE actually allows registrars to register and delete on a monthly basis. So it's right between May and delete.
Mm-hmm. They register and delete domains on a monthly basis. Okay. There. And Patrick, did you...
Wait a second. Did we change anything here?
We did.
Oh.
On second paragraph in 4.5, Olaf, between the words May and delete, the words register and...
Register and, okay.
Right.
Okay.
Should that be registrars or registrants? I mean, I know it's done through registrars.
But domains may be registered and deleted on a monthly basis.
That clarifies.
That clarifies.
Yeah, that clears it up.
Yep. But I think to answer the question, I think it is registrars, because registrars may not, some may not offer that to their registrants.
But presumably it's not on their own volition.
Right. So hold on, it'll say, but domains may be registered and deleted on a monthly basis.
On a monthly basis, yeah. I got that.
Yeah, great. .pl, I just kind of had a follow-up for Patrick on that. I remember when they gave us the data, we were thinking we might be able to get follow-up data for this report. Was any effort made on that or not?
I don't have anything further from them.
Okay.
I remember you sent a request to them, but no response now.
Okay. We can just take my comment out on that. All right, 4.6.
So what does the summary now say?
I mean, we need to delete the one confirmed so far because all three have provided responses and have authorized us to include them.
That's right. Whitebook came in today.
Yeah. Right. Then.
And I'm not doing a summary because A, I don't want to go there. B, I don't have time. And three, I just don't think that you can. There's such different responses. I don't think you can summarize them.
They all colored outside the lines.
Okay. So we won't go with a summary. We'll just leave it to what they are and refer to them in the annexes.
And I delete the and the responses are available. I delete what's in parentheses there.
Yeah.
Right. One confirmed so far. Right.
And I need to verify that I actually got both these additional ones. I saw the WIFO one flutter by from you, Christina, and we already had the.
We got Asia first, and then NAF came in, I'd say probably last week sometime, or at least permission to use it came in last week.
And the Asian, the Hong Kong guys, have they? I have that somewhere.
Oh yeah. They came in like before, you know. Almost immediately after we sent it to them.
Yeah, they did, but they didn't agree to.
Yeah, they did.
Have any problems?
Yeah.
Okay.
And if you need those just for your file, if you've got it, I'm happy to send them, but I'm not going to be able to get to that for a couple of days.
No, I'm pretty confident I got them all three. I mean,
okay.
Confirmation of all of it.
All right.
So it's fine. I'll sort that.
Okay. 4.7.
Drum roll. So I had a question.
Sure.
I think I raised attention to this earlier. They're going from question 7 to question 8. That a potential respondent could get confused based off the way the structure. And in looking at the quantitative results, it looks like 39% responded that they had experienced an increase, while 13 others responded with a decrease or stayed the same. My comment was that question 8 seemed targeted towards an outcome, and...
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear that last bit.
Seemed targeted towards an outcome.
No, it was actually the opposite. Question 8 was intended to determine, you know, do people actually, is the tasting really increasing, or do people just think it is because there's more out in the press about it?
Right. So what happened, though, or at least the numbers indicate that, you know, okay, so in response, is that the right number, indicated that there was an increase, and yet 46 people responded to the next question. So it's you know.
Yeah, I mean we had a huge problem with people thinking that the skip to a question meant that you basically there was a lot of problems with how answers were recorded.
Yeah.
And in fact there was a huge under recording of answers because people thought that the skip to the next question meant that they'd answered and that's how you move on to the next question.
Yeah.
Where skip to the next question means I'm not going to answer this one, don't record my answer, take me to the next question. So if anything, you know, that's why you have in many cases numbers that are just lower. But as of the day that you raised the issue about put 7 and 8 being confused, only 6 people had responded to the RFI. And the change that you requested and that you and I had talked about was made pretty much instantaneously.
Well, you know, I nitpicked and we probably went through enough time previously, but it does seem like, you know, it's human nature to get confused in a survey.
Well, yeah, particularly when the survey is done by volunteers on limited time.
Yeah, certainly.
So, I mean, I understand, Jonathan, that, you know, everyone has issues about the RFIs not being perfect. I just don't feel like that warrants mention in the report. I think it's self-evident, frankly. And unless, do you have anything specific, any specific comments or texts that you want to add?
Sure. Well, I mean, the reason that I had raised such attention to it was the concern that it might be that the facts that, or the numbers statistically that come from it might be taken out of context and used in a focused manner.
Well, and that can happen with any piece of information in this report.
Indeed.
And indeed. Probably will.
You know, I'll let it go.
All right. Thank you. Any other comments on 4-7?
And just so we're clear, the entire last paragraph of 4-7, although now my pages are all out of order, is coming out. Ah, here we go.
Is that the many respondents provided detailed comments?
Clear through.
No. Virtually all respondents, that should have been a separate paragraph, or at least it was in the draft that I submitted. And so from Mike's deletion of that last sentence is I'm fine with that. And then the last sentence, virtually all respondents made clear.
It's also deleted.
Is that from the CADNA response specifically?
Which? The decimal effect?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
Right. I mean,
so as of right now, section number 7 will just end with this comment is just one of many, because it is. You can
okay.
go back to the annex.
And then how about adding another clause, one of many, all of which are copied in the annex. And
that's
all.
Fine. All of which appear in annex, blah, blah, blah.
With the link.
Okay.
Great.
One of which.
All I can tell you is I think big clause will pay us for working out all the beta problems.
Yeah.
So that one comment that you went back to them and asked, did you ask them if they would identify themselves or no?
That one comment was provided by somebody who did, in fact, identify themselves. But, you know, I deleted all of the identifying information from the annexes.
Right, just like we have no identifying information as any of the registrars, so I don't think that that's an issue.
Are there quotes in the registrar section? Or is it just a summary? I thought the registrar section was just a summary.
There are no quotes.
I think a quote, if they're willing to identify themselves, probably should be in there. It would probably give them more credibility, I would assume.
I have one that comes to mind for the buyer's remorse situation.
Yeah, that was on a public list, right? I saw that.
Yeah, I had asked the registrar if we could use that on the list, and he agreed to it. So. We can add that in, and he said we could use his name, not a problem.
Okay, who is that so Olaf can record it?
It was Thomas Barrett from Encirca.
Okay.
Okay, and what was the comment? Is that on the...
That's
on
the that's in Jothan's email, the fifth reason, buyer's remorse.
Yeah, but the actual quote.
You'll have it by email.
We'll send it to you, Olaf.
Okay.
So I guess, and that's great. I was actually talking to Christina. If we could include the, if they agree and we can include their name, I think that would be more powerful.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm happy to ping them.
And who made that comment?
Okay. But I think it doesn't have to be in there. But if Christina can get it today, then we will put it in there. All right, any other comments on 4-7?
Wait a second here. No, I mean, there was a quote under 5, the buyer's remorse.
Yes.
That we should exemplify that. It's back into 4.3, soon to become 4.4 then. And that was, if I understood it right, it was an example or a quote from a registrar here.
Yes, so
yeah.
As I said, Jonathan or I will send you the information so you can quote it.
Well, and Olaf,
yeah.
I've made a couple of changes, like adding the word perceived, and I'll put some definition into buyer's remorse.
Okay.
And then I will add this quote. So I will give you a 4.3.
All right. When is that?
Call.
Yeah.
A 4.4, I guess, now.
Yeah.
Just so you guys know, the person who submitted the comment that I'm going to go back to is located in Asia. So, you know, I'll get an email out right now, but given the time difference, you know, I just want to keep that in mind.
Okay.
Do you mind, I mean, I know it's a quote, but for the word clients, do you mind if we put apostrophes after? Sorry.
I don't mind.
Where are you talking about?
In that quote.
Oh, yeah, that's fine. I don't care.
Clients is mentioned 3 times.
Microsoft clearly identifies it as bad grammar.
Heck, I'm just glad that they actually typed something in. I'm not going to worry about the grammar.
Oh, I was actually looking at the printed copy, but that's...
Okay. So, Jonathan, one thing. You got to get that to Olaf, you know, within an hour or two, because
absolutely,
he's got to take Maya and Christina's comments against what you provide.
I think that's reasonably accomplished.
All right.
It's a matter of cut and paste, and I've already started on half of these changes, which is why I proposed that. I think that's completely reasonable.
All right. Great. I trust you.
Okay. Anything else on 4.7?
I mean, do we want to apply the word perception? The comment is just one of many perceptions.
Or just one of many submitted by respondents. I'm happy to...
Many of the perceptions submitted by respondents.
I think if we're going to put it into 4.3, it's only fair. Or 4.4, we only put it into here that it's their perception.
All right, or just one of many opinions.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, and then we'll link to all of them. All right, getting there. Anything else on 4.7? All right. I'm willing to bet that Christina never wants to do a survey again.
It's not a survey. And you guys are still getting T-shirts. I just haven't gotten around to it.
All right.
4.8.
Two things. The new star should have a capital S, and the last sentence, 2 date.
We need to match up to what we said before.
Right.
Before we leave 4.7, could I just verify that what we've got as... as a title for 4.7 is actually what you would like to have as a title for the annex as well.
You betcha.
Yeah, okay. Thought so. Thanks.
Great. All right, and then 4.8, you'll change the new star branding, and then we'll copy the sentence that we agreed to up above on VeriSign.
Actually, you need to change the VeriSign branding as well.
In a couple places, yes.
Yeah.
I think Olaf will make the global change on that.
I actually did the global change because I realized it in an earlier version that I've used small S and needed a capital S. So I'm used to it, yes.
My bad, I've continued to forget that. It'll never happen again. All right.
Actually got it right in the heading there.
Yep. Then 4.9.
Yeah, can we use another word other than verdicts? It says these were included in the RFI, and the verdicts on them makes it sound like we made a judgment.
The opinions.
So wait, she's report. On the opinions on them from the RFI.
Mike, it's Danny. Let me just jump in with a question. I recall that back in Marrakesh, Paul Stahura put forward what he called the long-tail proposal. And if I remember right, that proposal also hinted at a way to reduce domain tasting. I mean, his particular take on it was to extend the AGP to 365 days. But even so, it still is one of the proposals that's out there in the realm. I'm just wondering if it should at least be referenced.
It seems like it would make sense.
I think... frankly, it's a little bit late now,
I don't support it, but I think just in terms of fairness, the goal here is to bring out all possible facts.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. I actually agree with the concept. There's plenty of other potential measures as well that we have not addressed. For example, better enforcement of the existing RAA provision on this point.
Right.
So... I think that what I would suggest we do is we add a sentence here that says something along the lines of there have been identified a number of other potential measures that were proposed to reduce domain tasting that have not yet been considered by the group because there was not factual information that we thought could easily be obtained in relation to them.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. There was a proposal that says that if you require a waiting period before activation, Right. There's a bunch of proposals that were mentioned, but we didn't have time to really look at them.
Right, and also it didn't seem like anything that we could do to get factual information on those things that would be useful.
You know, maybe just to mention that they exist.
Well, we did that, at least with the activation situation, we did that in the CCTLD section.
Mm-hmm.
The only problem there, Jonathan, is honestly the
timing.
Yeah. And the fact that if we include the two or three examples that we've just identified, Paul's, RAA, and activation of prompt payment.
Cadna suggested a couple, I think.
Yeah, there's a bunch of others. So I'd like to say that there are likely a number of other measures that have been proposed or could be proposed, which this group did not feel.
It's not in our remit.
I'm sorry?
It's not in our remit. I mean, we're here.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Exactly. We didn't feel like it was within the scope of our work.
Perfect.
Okay. Olaf, do you capture the gist of that?
Yeah, something of the sort.
Okay. I'm sure you will make it very eloquent. All right. Any other comments on 4.9?
That was a good point, though, Danny.
Section 5, then. Next steps. 5.1. All right. Then the annexes.
Well, they are as they are.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, unless anybody has any comments on that,
5.2, when you're talking about further research, is that what you're talking about, following up with the zone file research we identified earlier, or did I miss that? Is that somewhere else?
Actually, this is more general, I think, to include all of the different measures.
Right. I guess my question is, do we identify somewhere, or should we identify somewhere in the report that we still think it's would be useful research to follow up on that zone file research that
We do that. Actually, that was the last line in Danny's suggested.
Okay. I wasn't looking at Danny's. If it's in there, then I'm fine.
It is.
Can I make a suggestion, though? Does it, in the interest of having kind of one spot where the council can just look at it and say, okay, this is what the ad hoc group recommended, or this is what came out of it, and to the extent that they thought further action might be helpful or not, whatever, they have identified these specific things. I mean, not to mean that it's not a good idea to include it where we've got it before, but I think, you know, personally, I think it would be helpful for the counselors to have just kind of one section that almost could stand on its own in terms of, like, a to-do list.
So are you suggesting that we add in 5.2 a reference back to the zone file study suggestion?
Yeah, I mean, I think so.
Yeah, how about, for example, the zone file? Yeah, that's a good idea. For example, the zone file study at section blank and put a link back to it. Was there anything else?
Well, it'd be the further scrutiny of the PIR success. Or further review.
That's true. Further review of the
empirical experience of PIR.
And then a reference back to that as well.
Yeah.
Section. Okay. Okay.
Okay.
I don't know if we want to suggest that counselors look at the mailing list if they've got questions about how some of this was arrived at.
Well, it's identified up in the background section or whatever that there was an open mailing list and there's a link to it.
Is there a presentation in LA on this?
I don't know. We're going to decide next steps as a council next week in our meeting.
At this point, I believe there's nothing on it. I had some email with Avery on it a few days ago.
I think there's, like, something vaguely for Saturday. At least I thought I saw something at one point.
Yeah, and it's, you know, quite likely to be on the agenda again. It really depends on what happens.
Yeah, at this point, there is nothing on the agenda.
Okay.
But there may be because of the outcome of next week's meeting.
Right, because we would make ourselves available, some of us at least can make ourselves available if they had questions.
I certainly offer myself for that process.
Yep.
Should it happen.
Could you just send me a note and then I'll put you on the mailing list with the numbers for the call?
Yeah, I mean, it does make sense to me to have some sort of forum on domain tasting again, since I think we've done it, the last three or four meetings.
But now that we have a report, we can at least discuss it.
Exactly, and the next steps of the council, which, you know, probably, maybe likely, are going to be a PDP has been initiated. Be sort of a kickoff.
Well, I think we'd have to formally propose a session to ICANN.
It might be really too late for that.
And the timing on it. Yeah.
Well, isn't there a policy, is there agenda set for the Saturday and Sunday?
I don't think it's firmed up yet.
It seems very loosey.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of loose schedule as usual, with 2 weeks left to go. So I think what I'll do is, Alan, I'd like to know, if you wouldn't mind, just looping me into the discussion you've had with Aubrey. I'd like to follow up on that a little bit.
I was just asking her if there was something scheduled, because I have potential conflicts with ALAC meetings. And she said, as of this point, there is nothing scheduled for LA, but it is on the conference call next week.
Right. Okay.
That's all I know.
Am I hearing, though, from everyone on the call that they would be supportive of having some sort of a public forum to present our report?
I would, on the condition that it's not on Monday. Only because there's a six-hour council session on Monday anyway.
No, I mean, you know, trying to schedule it in between all the council, we've got like 25 hours of council meetings that week, so.
And the constituency meetings, I think, are
right. It's going to be a challenge. I'm just trying to take the temperature of this group. If we can make it happen, and it sounds like we'd like to make it happen, and we have participants to do it.
Given that there was significant interest, and we have something to say, if we can fit it in the schedule, it should be there.
Yeah.
And Mike, it's Danny. I'm putting together a tutorial on the RAA Wednesday morning at 9:00, so that's my particular conflict.
Okay. I think we're all going to have conflicts, and Glenn will probably have to propose, you know, one or two potential time hour slots, probably on Wednesday as a day for a lot of folks. So that might
work. But aren't we having our council meeting on Wednesday morning? Don't we want to have the forum? If we're going to have a forum, does it make sense to have one before the council votes?
Yes. Well, the council is going to vote this week, Christina.
Oh, it is?
Well, I'm assuming it is.
That's okay. What's supposed to happen.
excuse me.
Frankly.
Sorry, can I just butt in there? On the council meeting, in the council meeting in Los Angeles, there is the domain tasting up. It's one of the four proposed.
It is on the agenda?
Yes, it is.
For when?
And it says on, we're having the council meeting and the GNSI forum in a different way this time,
right,
in that it's topic by topic, and then there is input from the community, there is council discussion, and then if there will be a vote or not, that will be in the council meeting, but it will all take place at the same time.
You're talking about the Wednesday meeting, though.
I'm talking about the Wednesday meeting, yes, which will start at 8:30 and go on to 8:30 in one session.
So it's 4 hours, and one-fourth of it of the agenda right now is domain tasting.
That's what it looks like. That's what.
Perhaps Aubrey just forgot that when she was talking with Alan. I'm not sure.
I was asking specifically about Saturday and Sunday. So that might be the reason.
Okay.
Well, okay. Sounds like we're covered then.
I'm sorry to ask an off-topic question. I'm getting ready to send the email to the person who sent this comment. if I say, you know, I need to hear back from you in 24 hours, is that fast enough, or do I need it faster? Kind of keeping in mind that they're in
the study. Immediately. Tell them that the report is going to be submitted to council tomorrow evening.
So that's over 24 hours from now.
Yep. And, you know, adding his or her name in there is going to take 5 seconds. So.
Right. No, I know.
Okay.
But communicating and facilitating that, I mean, you may want to build in a little bit of management reserve into the process, but 24
right.
hours should do it.
Yeah, let me just see what time it is where they are. All right, I'll take care of it.
Thanks, Christina. All right, anybody else? Any comments, issues, questions? All right. Well, I just personally want to thank everybody for a lot of effort for the last several months. I think we've done some good and useful work.
Is this our final call, Mike?
It is.
Excellent. Not saying it's fun.
Come on, you guys are going to miss talking to me. I know you are.
I'm sure.
Christina, I hope you'll call me afterwards.
Tell me, Mike, if there's a PDP, there'll be many of the same people, I'm sure.
Mike, you did say we'll have one more kick at the can. Does that implies an email kick at the can?
Yes.
Since there's no more meetings? Okay.
I said in my email that Olaf and I will endeavor, to get this next draft out as soon as he can after this call. I don't know if he wants to give any more specific estimate than that, and I've asked for all comments by tomorrow, essentially 24 hours, for people to submit comments.
Can I ask a favor? If there is a specific time cutoff for comments, can you make sure that's in the email so that I have something to kind of plan against?
I did say it last night. It's
okay.
2 p.m. Pacific.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yeah, right. I mean, my next step, what I will have to do again, since I sent it to the list, I'll have to chop it in 2 pieces. I try to get it to ready within an hour and a half, because I really need to get going by then. And then I'll send the full document that's possible to do to Mike, you, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
Single sending works. And you take it from there and make the final edits on it.
Yeah, I think, Olaf, don't send it to me. I don't want to bottleneck. I'm in the conference today. So please send it to the entire list.
I'll send the documents chopped up in 2 pieces to the full list, clearly so. But if you're going to work on it, you're going to need the full document. Otherwise...
Correct.
It's you can't glue it together.
No, I understand. I understand what you're saying. I'll have to submit 2 parts to the council. Frankly, the second part shouldn't change. It's all annexes. So it's really just this first part that I'm worried about, and hopefully there won't be too many suggested edits or at least any controversial edits that we have to have back and forth on.
Okay.
To simplify it, if you can send me the whole document that should be posted, I can get it posted in one piece.
Yes. Good. But then, if I send it now for
mm-hmm.
posting, then there will be a final thing that Mike has edited.
Right.
And that's the one that should be posted, actually.
Okay, and when can you do that, Mike?
That'll be tomorrow, sometime after 2 p.m. Pacific time.
Okay.
And I will send it to the council list, so you'll get it that way.
Yeah, but you won't be able to send that big thing, so send it to me and I can get it posted immediately.
Okay.
I can get it posted on the website, yes?
I thought you were offering to post Olaf's hour and a half from now version.
Also, if that was going to help anybody.
I
don't think it helps, because I still have to edit the first half of it anyway a little bit.
What we do on that? Does that help, or is it just confusing?
No, I don't think that helps.
Okay.
So as soon as you get me your version, Mark, I can get it posted up on the website, and then that takes away this huge bulky post that might not come through the email service.
Right. Okay. Well, thank you, Glenn. Thank you,
and you
Patrick.
Said 2 p.m. your time, 2 p.m. Pacific time. Okay.
Tomorrow, yeah. It's probably going to be 2 or 3 hours after that, and you'll be sleeping or not wanting to deal with it, but you'll just deal with it your next morning.
Yeah.
That'll be fine.
Okay.
All right. Well, thanks, Glenn, Patrick, and especially Olaf
Herculean effort on this for several months.
Well, actually, what? But Patrick can do the parsing for you because he can put it up. He's there in your time zone.
Then I'll make
I'll talk with Patrick.
I'll make sure I copy Patrick when I send to the council list then. Alrighty. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.